Afternoon, everyone. What a privilege to welcome the leaders of California's great cities to San Francisco. This is the first Big City Mayors Summit, and there's no better place to host it than in a city that is on the forefront of innovation. As you're here in San Francisco today, you are experiencing a city on the rise. Violent crime has fallen to levels not seen since the 1950s. Tent encampments are at record lows, and for the first time in years, San Franciscans believe our city is heading in the right direction. With the support of local law enforcement, community leaders, and the appropriate federal law enforcement partners, we're achieving that goal without compromising our values or our laws. And today, I signed an executive directive that lays out clear, decisive actions to support immigrant communities and ensure the city remains prepared for possible federal action. Like cities across the state, we face our share of challenges. And here in San Francisco, we're meeting these challenges with urgency and optimism. During this summit today, we've had productive conversations on our shared priorities, including housing, homelessness, and economic development. In San Francisco, we are actively planning for our new housing on the north and west sides of our city, while building more on the east side and downtown. Just last week, I attended several groundbreakings and ribbon-cutting ceremonies across this city, and we will continue that momentum so our teachers, workers, families, and the next generation of San Franciscans can live here. To address the homelessness crisis, we launched our Breaking the Cycle plan, focused on helping people struggling on our streets on a path towards stability. Under this plan, we launched a new integrated neighborhood street team, coordinated outreach across city departments, and opened more treatment beds for those suffering from addiction and mental health problems. My administration is setting the conditions for success across our city. We are partnering with the private sector to drive our economic comeback, especially downtown. Local businesses are thriving under our Permit SF initiative, which is cutting red tape so that small businesses can operate under a more efficient and transparent system. Putting San Francisco's musicians, artists, and cultural leaders center stage has energized our neighborhoods, community centers, and civic life. Once again, San Francisco is a city on the rise. This summit shows mayors from across the state standing together to achieve our shared goals. I look forward to continuing to work with the mayors behind me and our state partners as we advance San Francisco's comeback. Now I'd like to introduce our chair, Mayor Patricia Locke Dawson of Riverside. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Lori. Well, good afternoon, everyone. As Mayor Lori said, I am Patricia Locke Dawson, mayor of the fine city of Riverside, and also I have the honor of being the chairperson for this year's California Big City Mayors Coalition. So today, my fellow mayors around me from California's largest cities convened here in San Francisco for the inaugural C13 Summit. I'd like to extend my sincere thanks to Accelerator for America for helping make this convening possible. And also to Mayor Lurie and his staff for hosting us in this beautiful city. And you do have a beautiful city.
Thank you, Mayor.
As chair, I'm honored to bring this coalition together, but it is the commitment of every mayor here that will turn our shared vision into meaningful results for the people we serve. When 13 mayors, representing more than 11 million Californians, stand united, we send a powerful message. Local leaders are aligned in our determination to confront the state's most pressing challenges together. At today's summit, as Mayor Lurie said, we focused on three urgent priorities: advancing economic development, addressing homelessness, and expanding our housing supply. At the heart of these challenges lies the issue of affordability. the dream of home ownership has become increasingly out of reach. And rents continue to climb, leaving far too many Californians just one paycheck away from homelessness. The path forward is clear. We must continue to fund programs that keep people housed, and we must accelerate the construction of new homes. Expanding supply is essential to restoring affordability and stability for our residents. To sustain California's position as the world's fourth largest economy, we must also cultivate a business climate that encourages innovation, investment, and job creation. By fostering an environment where industries of the future can grow and thrive, we will ensure that prosperity is both lasting and inclusive. As mayors, we don't have the luxury of waiting for solutions to emerge. Our responsibility is to lead with urgency, take action, and deliver measurable progress that improves people's lives. In Riverside, we currently have more than 6,000 housing units in the development pipeline, and this last year achieved functional zero for youth homelessness, meaning our city has the capacity to meet the housing needs of every young person aged 18 to 24. We are also transforming our local economy to meet the demands of the future. Over the past 18 months, Riverside has welcomed 6 green technology manufacturers, their headquarters, international. We've opened 6 green businesses who are producing the next generation of clean transportation and innovation. Every mayor standing with me today is working tirelessly to strengthen their communities. Yet our discussions today make clear there is still much more to do. To achieve that progress that Californians deserve, we will need continued partnership and support from the state of California. And this afternoon, you will hear directly from my fellow mayors about the work underway in their cities and the opportunities ahead when we act with unity and purpose. And now I'm honored to introduce my colleague and friend, the mayor of the great city of Los Angeles, Karen Bass.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I want to thank you to our leader, Mayor Locke Dawson, for that introduction. And I want to thank Mayor Lori for hosting us here in the beautiful city of San Francisco. I'm honored to be joined by so many of my fellow big city mayors in advocating for solutions to one of the most pressing issues that all of us face, and that's homelessness. With the state's support, we have all, each of us, have made significant progress in addressing homelessness. In Los Angeles, including 2 consecutive years in a row for the first time, we have decreased the number of people on our streets experiencing homelessness. We have added more permanent housing, and placements are at an all-time high to go from interim to permanent housing, and we must continue this urgency. We have been able to do this with assistance from the state with HAP funding, Homelessness Housing Assistance and Prevention Program. This has been critical, that support, in terms of supporting this progress. However, this year we faced a challenge. This funding was cut in half. The state has been a consistent, invaluable partner, and we need our partnership with the state to continue its commitment in helping us confront this humanitarian crisis and bring people inside. What is most important for each and every one of us is not to have to face fighting for this funding year after year. Given the uncertainty that we all face, given the national situation, this is the time for California to make a consistent, long-term commitment to make the Homeless Housing Assistance and Prevention Program permanent. We cannot afford anything but progress in confronting this issue, and without this funding, lives are at risk. What I would like to do now is to introduce Mayor Todd Gloria from the wonderful city of San Diego, who has also made very significant progress in reducing homelessness in California and in his city.
Thank you, Mayor Bass. I appreciate those kind words. And thank you, Mayor Lurie, for welcoming us to your beautiful city. It truly does look amazing here. You're doing a fantastic job. And I'm pleased to follow our leader, Mayor Patricia Locke Dawson from the great city of Riverside. I appreciate you bringing us all together today here in Daniel's great city. We have had a very productive session today, planning for the year ahead, focused on three key priorities of reducing homelessness, building more housing, and creating safe and affordable communities on behalf of all the people that we serve. Together, this group of mayors have, over the years, turned our collaboration into action. And we've delivered real wins for the people of this state and for our cities, and turned the resources we were able to get in Sacramento into real action and change in the cities that we are proud to represent. As Mayor Bass was just mentioning, nothing has been more important to the success of that we've had in our respective cities in the Homelessness Housing Assistance Prevention Program, otherwise known as HAP. Now, I know in government we have a lot of acronyms, and it's probably easy to kind of glaze over on them. But let me just tell you, HAP has been a game changer when it comes to our efforts to reduce homelessness and bring people off the streets and into housing. Absolute game changer. This has allowed us to make critical investments that has been needed to get San Diegans in my city off the streets and into housing, and I'm here to tell you that it is working. In San Diego, homelessness has been reduced by 14% since last year. In my downtown core of San Diego, we've gone from more than 2,000 encampments to fewer than 800 over the last 2 years. This is the change that we're able to bring by working locally with state support, and we must keep it going. Since I've taken office, we've been able to more than double our shelter capacity in the city of San Diego, offering everything from our traditional shelters to innovative new safe parking lots, as well as safe sleeping sites. And as the mayor mentioned before, as Washington, D.C. takes steps back from engaging and supporting cities and states, it is more critical than ever that our partners in Sacramento keep stepping forward. We have to double down when it comes to HAP, not scale it back. And we want to make sure that we're continuing to make the progress that we're seeing. In order to do that, this program must be made permanent and a permanent part of our California state budget. That would give us stable funding. That will give us clear accountability. And will help us to deliver results faster to the people of California. So let's keep doing the work that the data absolutely shows is making a difference in turning the tide on this scourge of homelessness that we experience in this state. We have proven as mayors that this problem is manageable, that we can reduce the number of people living on our streets, but we cannot do it without the partnership of the state of California. We would love to do it with the partnership of the federal government, but those priorities are apparently elsewhere these days. The point is this: big city mayors know how to get the job done. Standing together, demanding results, and delivering for the people of this state is what we do. And by spending the day together today, we have a strategy, I think, going forward to make sure that we get more results for our cities in 2026. With that, it's my pleasure to introduce our mayor in Sacramento, my former colleague in the legislature, Mayor Kevin McCarthy.
Thank you, Mayor Gloria, for doing such a fine job at America's finest city. Is that what you're known as? Okay. And thank you, Mayor Lurie, for welcoming us here to San Francisco. You truly are a city on the rise. I can attest that, as well as Mayor Locke Dawson for leading us in their Big City Mayors Coalition of 13 mayors. As you said, 11 million people live in our cities. More than one in four Californians live in our jurisdiction. So California's issues are really our issues, and we are leading firsthand. I'm proud to be one of the relatively new mayors as part of this coalition. I'll announce the next mayor shortly after, represent the capital city of Sacramento. We are also a city on the rise, doing big things. Just broke ground on a new big league soccer stadium, looking to have a major league baseball team there forever with expansion down the horizon. So we are a city on the rise. We're addressing issues of the day like housing and homelessness. And I'm pleased to say that I served in the legislature for 10 years. I just got to the city hall 10 months ago. So I was there when we announced this once in a generation investment in resources for cities to address homelessness. And it was a new issue. It was a new issue for cities up and down the state of California. Over 176,000 homeless throughout the state of California, majority in our cities. And I can state unequivocally that because of these resources, we are making a difference. Just in my city, for example, between 2022 and 2024, we reduced homelessness by 30%. the largest reduction in homelessness throughout the state of California because of our HAP funding. We spent about $50 million a year to address homelessness, providing resources for nearly 2,000 beds. Half of that is because of the HAP funding. And as Mayor Gloria said, we're facing threats from the federal government, fewer resources. Our cities are stretched as well. We're counting on the state partnership to continue the progress, because this investment of $1 billion can't go on a year-by-year equation. We cannot go on with half of the funding year to year. We need continued support. So we're making a difference. We're focusing on innovative solutions, no longer looking at the $500,000 to $1 million solutions for the permanent supportive housing that really serve the few. We're trying to serve the many. We just launched in Sacramento initiatives to have tiny homes, inner home solutions for $85,000 per homeless individual. And we're doing that again because of HAP funding. So HAP funding is our lifeline to make a difference and address homelessness in our cities, like our capital city of Sacramento. We're making a difference, and I'm proud of our 13 big city mayors who are stepping up as well, solving California's problems. And now I'd like to introduce our newest mayor to the Big City Mayors Coalition from across the bay here, the mayor of the great city of Oakland, Barbara Lee.
Thank you very much, Mayor McCarthy. And thank you all for being here today. And I want to thank Mayor Lurie for your tremendous leadership, for bringing us together at this historic summit. And I just want to say it's wonderful to be here in your beautiful city. Oakland is also on the rise, but we're also on the move. And thank all of you for your support and for helping us move forward in Oakland. When I was in the California State Senate, I actually chaired the Housing and Land Use Committee. And we had many, many challenges then, years and years ago. We have many more now. And so this unity with big city mayors is extremely important in addressing our homelessness issue, as well as our affordability issue, as well as affordable housing. And first, let me just reiterate and say to everyone that I do believe that HAP funding has been really the lifeblood of our funding source in Oakland for homelessness solutions. And in fact, I agree, and we need to have a sustained funding stream for homelessness. But we also need a homelessness framework which should take an ecosystem approach and support a more robust state-level approach totally to homelessness, especially with increased funding for homelessness prevention and operating subsidies for homelessness housing. This funding approach, it needs to be deployed across the continuum, sustainable, and should allow for many, many years to allow this system to flow. Let me mention Oakland very quickly in terms of a recent positive development with regard to funding. We passed, finally, Measure W, and the Alameda County mayors worked toward addressing 100% for homelessness in this Measure W funding. We landed at 80%. And that gives us a real opportunity now to coordinate services again across every department with the state of California. And this 80% funding will bring in millions of dollars to go directly toward homelessness solutions. I talked about an ecosystem and a framework, and I want to mention the opportunity that we have been brought to us. Well, this opportunity with Measure W has been brought to us to establish an Office of Homelessness Solutions, which is extremely important because this entire ecosystem now will begin to look at homelessness from prevention to permanent housing. And this includes, and I'd just like to mention the 5 points and the 5 strategies that we're embarking upon. One is prevention, preventing homelessness, which means it has to be targeted. Secondly, we're connecting and accessing services, outreach. Thirdly, diversion in terms of stabilizing income and housing. And I mentioned earlier that one of the best predictors of a successful homelessness initiative is a job and economic assistance and income. Also, interim shelter, transitional shelter, extremely important as you build out the strategy, as we build it out in Oakland. And finally, of course, building affordable permanent housing. I share that because this great, powerful mayor's, excuse me, the big city mayors here in California have this opportunity now to work on a sustained funding stream to develop not only the necessary funding, but a framework to begin to really have a strategy and the funding that meets the crisis. Because the crisis is great, but I'm convinced that we're going to move forward and find solutions in a new way, in a creative way, with additional sustained funding, which requires us to work very closely with our counties, work very closely with our nonprofits, our activists, and with those most impacted. And those are people who have the unfortunate moment now in their lives to live on the streets. And I think we have to approach this with dignity in mind for the human beings who are on the streets, but also with safety and with a clear understanding that we have to address homelessness in a very comprehensive approach with a comprehensive framework and not just piecemeal it and silo it like it has been in the past. So thank you all again. And now I'd like to bring up my mayor, our mayor from next door, who has been leading so much on technology and giving us insight as to how we can better use technology to address homelessness, Matt Mahan.
Thank you, Mayor Lee. Mayor Lurie, thank you so much for hosting us here in your City on the Rise. Mayor Locke Dawson, thank you for chairing Big City Mayors and convening today's very productive summit. Believe it or not, today felt for me like a walk through the grocery store. You see, every Sunday I take my kids to the grocery store and we're stopped on every aisle and asked by residents very practical questions. Why are our freeway on-ramps littered with trash? How do we help the person yelling at the sky and wandering into traffic? Why are our taxes going up as our problems seem to be getting worse? Why is my rent so darn high? Today, we talked about these issues. We know that as big city mayors, we're on the front lines of solving these very real problems in our constituents' everyday lives. And we all agree we need more partnership and more problem solving from Sacramento in order for us to have the impact where it's needed most. Our residents accept no excuses at the grocery store, nor should they. And today, I'm going to talk about their biggest concern, the humanitarian crisis on our streets. In San Jose, like so many of the cities represented by their mayors here today, we have not waited for others to solve the problem. We've invested in quick-build housing solutions at a fraction of the cost and a fraction of the time to get our homeless neighbors into more dignified living arrangements. In fact, this year we are opening over 1,000 individual private interim housing units for our unsheltered neighbors, and in fact, over the last 4 years have reduced unsheltered homelessness by nearly one-third with support from the state in the form of HAP funding. But we can't solve this crisis alone. Earlier this month, San Jose came to an agreement with our county, Santa Clara County, that I believe can serve as a model for ensuring that every locality does their part in the effort to end homelessness. Our county agreed to expand inpatient treatment beds, provide on-site medical and behavioral health services in our city-run shelter and interim housing communities, and increase the number of placements they provide each month in the countywide permanent supportive housing system. We're starting to agree on the different roles we each play when it comes to ending homelessness. Our county is responsible for the services that get people back to self-sufficiency, and our city is responsible for providing a safe, dignified place for them to receive those services. We've done it in our corner of the state, but we can't continue to work in silos. We're making progress in San Jose, but we would be making much more progress statewide if we were working in greater partnership with our counties, our smaller cities, and especially with Sacramento. We need counties and smaller cities to step up, and the state needs to incentivize their engagement, if not require it. In short, we need a fair share framework for this from the state for ending unsheltered homelessness that holds everyone accountable. That's what today was about, reconnecting and rethinking what we need as the leaders of California's 13 largest cities, representing more than 11 million residents who we listen to every single day. And we have to because they literally stop us at the grocery store. On a city-to-city level, we've seen the power of partnerships. We organized to help pass Prop 1. We organized to help reform conservatorship. And while we did not get what we asked for this year, we have had immense success in the past when we come together and ask for the support we need to address our biggest crisis, unsheltered homelessness. And we have asks of these gubernatorial candidates. We're aligned on one very important goal this year, the restoration of HAP dollars so that we can continue to move people indoors and restore our public spaces to community use. We aren't stopping there, but that is a line in the sand. I can tell you I will not support a gubernatorial candidate who does not support our most vulnerable residents by committing to HAP funding on an ongoing basis. And I know I am not alone. Together, we'll also be working to remove barriers to building housing, creating opportunities for economic development and investment in our cities, and I certainly won't give up on a statewide fair share framework that defines roles and responsibilities for every city and every county and holds us all accountable. I'd advise those who are looking to lead our state to listen to the people leading our cities. We know what our residents need, and we are not afraid to advocate for it. Muy rápido en español para our noticias en español. Como alcaldes de las ciudades más grandes en California, estamos en la primera línea de los mayores desafíos y oportunidades de nuestro estado. Para acabar con la falta de vivienda, hacer que nuestras ciudades sean más seguros y reducir el costo de vida de las familias californianas, necesitamos una colaboración más fuerte con Sacramento. Nosotros seguiremos luchando para la financiación constante de HAP, por la exigencia de que los condados apoyen los esfuerzos de las ciudades para reducir la falta de vivienda y por la reducción de las barreras a la construcción de viviendas y el desarrollo económico en nuestras ciudades. Gracias a todos mis socios aquí. And now it is my great pleasure to introduce one of my favorite mayors, the common sense, pragmatic, hands-on mayor of Fresno, Jerry Dyer.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate it very, very much. And it is good to be here today. Standing with all of my colleagues, and I want to say thank you to Mayor Patricia Locke Dawson for her leadership, bringing forth the C-13 Summit. And I also want to say thank you to Mayor Lurie. You know, I spent 40 years in the Fresno Police Department, the last 18 years as a police chief, and I want to tell you something, Mayor. I have never felt safer walking through a city in my life than I have in San Francisco. And it is an honor to be able to stand in front of this beautiful, beautiful city hall. It's no question we are in a housing crisis in America, housing crisis in the state of California, and I know that to be true in my city in Fresno. And mayors across the state of California have been thrust into the situation of what are we going to do as mayors to provide additional housing in our cities. We don't necessarily build the housing. But we're very effective in making sure we have policies that support housing. We subsidize housing. We do everything we can to increase housing within our cities. And I believe we're making great strides throughout the state of California in increasing housing production in terms of affordability. But we are trying to dig our way out of decades of neglect. We have a housing deficit in the state of California. I can say that to be true in Fresno. When I first became the mayor 5 years ago, The year before, we had produced less than 100 affordable housing units in our city. That we took a number of steps to increase housing in our city. I can tell you this year we're building 800 affordable housing units. In 2026, we're on pace to deliver an additional 1,600 affordable housing units. But I stand here today to say this, that affordable housing is not limited to just people with low-income households. It also impacts the missing middle-income families, people that used to be able to afford to buy a home who can no longer afford to buy a home. They're having to make some very, very difficult decisions about whether or not to buy milk or whether or not to pay their energy rate, their PG&E rates, in our case in Fresno, or to be able to pay their rents. And that's a difficult challenge for each and every one of them. And so households, the challenge is this. Households who earn too much money to qualify for subsidized housing and not enough money to afford market rate housing. And that's both as a renter and as a homeowner. And that's a challenge that they face without being cost burdened. And so it is important that we increase housing in each and every one of our cities, the housing supply. Not just increase housing supply, but make sure that the housing that we're providing is affordable. And how do we do that? We reduce our appetite in many cases, the amenities in which we want to have in our homes, to be able to reduce the size, to look at manufactured housing, which we've done in Fresno. I know they've done in San Jose. It's important that we further condominium ownership, which we are not able to do right now in the state of California as a result of construction defect liability laws that we face. And so it's very, very important that we increase housing supply. But it's also important that we create in the state of California a housing trust fund, similar to what we have in many of our cities, which is a local housing trust fund. That is flexible dollars that we can use to address middle-income families in achieving their housing needs. That's those individuals that earn between 80 and 120% of the area median income. And also, it's important that we create funding opportunities and availability of those funds for middle-income families who wish to purchase a home, who wish to achieve the American dream, to be able to provide those folks with down payment assistant funds and to be able to give them those funds with a forgivable loan after a 15-year period. But I can say this truly as I stand here today, that if we do not address the housing crisis in our state, if we do not address the middle-income housing shortage in our state, California's overall affordability challenge will only be exacerbated. It is something that we take serious, and I know that each and every one of us, every single day when we wake up, we think about homelessness and housing. And so it is my honor now to be able to introduce the mayor of the city of Irvine, Larry Agron. Larry?
Thank you, Mayor Dyer. Thank you to all my colleagues. I think they have made the case one after the other for continuing support from Sacramento so that the successful efforts that have been undertaken can go forward so that in our big cities as well as our smaller cities, we can actually meet the challenge of affordable housing and meet the challenge of homelessness. I just want to say, because many of you may not be familiar with the city of Irvine, and we're the smallest among the big 13 cities here in California, but at 330,000 people, we're bigger than Cincinnati, bigger than Pittsburgh, bigger than many, many cities. With 330,000 people, we have a homelessness problem. We have an affordability problem. And I want to kind of bring this home to everybody by pointing out, in anticipation of this homelessness crisis, the affordability crisis. We have over the years been building affordable housing. We have over 5,000 permanent affordable housing units in the city of Irvine. We are adding hundreds and hundreds of units. We expect to double the number of affordable housing units, shelter for people who desperately need it, from 5,000 to 10,000 over the next 5 years. But we can't do that without all kinds of partnerships and with the partnership of the state as well. And let me just close by personalizing this a little bit. We have set up milestones in our city to make progress in this regard. We have identified that in our school district, one of our four school districts, but the main one, the Irvine Unified School District, there are 88 school children who live in a totally unstable and unacceptable housing situation, or are in fact homeless, who live in our parks, in cars, even though they're in a wealthy community. We have set a milestone, a near-term milestone, to provide what we call instant affordability, to see to it that each and every one of those identified homeless school children will have a home to go to after school every day, and we will meet that goal by this spring. This is the kind of personalization of this terrible tragedy that we need to meet and overcome. And let's do it starting now with these wonderful mayors taking the lead. Thank you.
And now, Rex Richardson from Long Beach.
All right. Thank you. I know you've been out here a long time. So first of all, Mayor Lurie, your city is beautiful. I love the coastline, and your city is thriving. Let's hear it from Mayor Lurie. San Francisco is certainly thriving. That's right. Well, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Rex Richardson. I'm mayor of the city of Long Beach, the seventh largest city in the state of California, home to the Port of Long Beach, where combined with our sister port in Los Angeles, 43% of all trade in the United States comes through our combined seaports. We are a good working town, a working people's town. We are a union town in the city of Long Beach. And I am thrilled to be here alongside all these incredible mayors, the Big 13. We're right in the middle. We're number seven, right? The Big 13, the C13 Summit. It's been incredible to hear what's happening, the leadership taking place in all of these cities. And I stand in concurrence with homelessness being continue to be a top priority. We are delivering results. We've increased our shelter capacity by 86% since we've taken office as mayor. And overall, unsheltered homeless has gone down 2 years consecutively, an overall 17% reduction in unsheltered homelessness in our city. And we're continuing to place a focus on housing. But as we're in this summit, you know, we want to make sure that people know that we want California to continue to pursue its dream. It's not just about families surviving. We want our families thriving. We want to continue to make sure young people can achieve their highest and best potential in our state and do the things, do all of the incredible things. And so as mayor, I want to share how we are standing together to advance an opportunity agenda for our economy here in the state of California. We know that California is the fourth largest economy in our state, but that is driven by the cities. These cities are home to the population centers and the economic centers. And unless our cities thrive, our state will not continue to thrive. In Long Beach, we are focused on growth. Our initiative, Grow Long Beach, we've experienced an incredible renaissance in our city. We're home to Space Beach, the fastest growing space and aerospace cluster anywhere in the nation, where we're seeing a real resurgence in advanced manufacturing. This is the smart stuff. This is where an engineer out of Long Beach State can make good money and own a home, but so can a welder without a degree. with a certification at Long Beach City College can make $45 an hour and be able to also own a home in the city of Long Beach. So we are investing in these industries. As an example, there's a company called Vast who's built in the world's first commercial space station, who went from 40 jobs just 2 years ago to more than 1,000 employees here in the city of Long Beach in just that two-year span. We are proud that companies like Rocket Lab, the second largest launch cadence company in America, is headquartered in Long Beach. Relativity Space. We're seeing billions of dollars of private and federal investment in space and defense, with new startups seeding and growing in our community on a monthly basis. We call our cluster Space Beach. We also see Ford Motor Company selected our city for a massive new Skunk Works style engineering and design center focused on the development of the next generation of electric vehicles. Nikon selected Long Beach for a new $100 million investment to position themselves as the leader in 3D printing and advanced manufacturing. So we know that there is interest in advanced manufacturing. We should claim it and own it so those opportunities don't go on to other states, so our young people can embrace the opportunities of the future. Our Port of Long Beach continues to break records, moving almost 10 million containers in 2024, ensuring that we're continuing to move the economy and the flow of goods through our community. And we've seen a vibrant return of the visitor economy, the tourism economy. Tourism spend in Long Beach last year topped $2 billion. And our city and our region is preparing to welcome the world for the 2028 Olympic and Paralympic Games, which we will make sure is an Olympics for all. Am I right? An Olympics for everyone. That's right. The Games for all. So none of this happens in isolation. Cities like Long Beach cannot carry this momentum. None of our cities can carry this momentum along. It requires partnership and leadership from the state of California. We need to remain competitive for the opportunities in the industries of the future. That's why California big city mayors are coming together to identify how we can lower barriers to business and doing business in our city, how we can tell our state and our city's story, how we can aggressively continue to recruit the businesses, the industries, and the jobs of the future. We need partnership, continued investment from the state of California to fund infrastructure, workforce development, housing, and climate resilience. The state should fund collaborative business incentives, coordinated business incentives to focus on attracting high-paying advanced manufacturing jobs by offering standardized incentive packages to better compete with other states. The state must assist our municipalities in retaining the innovation that's being designed and engineered here in the state of California. So we should not be losing large-scale production from California of California-born technology to other states. Because when Long Beach grows, when San Francisco grows, when Oakland and LA and San Diego and Irvine, when we grow, the state of California grows together. So we thank you. We want to continue working with all of you to build a stronger and more equitable California economy. And that said, I want to welcome back Mayor Lurie and Mayor Locke Dawson to close us out.
Yeah, what about Riverside? Yeah.
We want to grow.
Oh, my goodness. So thank you, Mayor Richardson. So this really brings us to the close here. But let me just say in closing, cities are where innovation happens and where solutions are tested and where the future takes shape. And the discussions we had here today are proof. So I see today as more than a convening. It's a commitment. A commitment and with purpose, a commitment to partnership. And that's why today we're releasing the first ever Big City Mayor's Action Agenda, a united vision outlining the coalition's legislative and local priorities. And we call on the governor and legislature to work with us. We know that when the state and our cities work hard and hand in hand, aligning resources, policies, and determination, we deliver lasting results. We're proud of the progress being made in our cities, but we're not satisfied. There's still more to do. So I want to thank again Mayor Lurie for hosting us, to Accelerator for America for their partnership, and to my fellow mayors for their continued leadership and partnership. Together we're building a stronger, more equitable, more resilient California. So thank you. I know we are able to take a few questions. I want to ask Charles to come on up and help us take questions. And it can be for anybody on the steps here.
Yeah, we have no specifics. We've been preparing since the day I got into office for enhanced enforcements or the National Guard coming in. All I can say is that we are prepared. We are coordinated across department heads, across law enforcement. I'm going to reiterate what I said before, and that is that our law enforcement is focused on keeping San Francisco and San Franciscans safe. I want everybody to know we are going to protect people's right to demonstrate and to protest if enforcement comes. We're going to protect people's First Amendment rights, but we're going to protect their First Amendment rights to protest peacefully. I want to make that clear. I want everybody in San Francisco to know that I have their back. We have to have our communities back, and the way we do that is to protest, demonstrate peacefully. And so I'm going to continue to reiterate that every single day. And the last thing I will say, we got this. San Francisco has been through tough times before. We are a city on the rise. I have this community's back, and we can handle whatever comes our way. Have had no conversations with anybody at the White House. I would say to anybody that I talk to, I would say this is a city on the rise. We have violent crime down at levels that haven't been seen since the 1950s. This is a city that is recruiting more police officers and sheriff's deputies than we have in over a decade. We have a net increase in both of those. We have tent encampments at record lows. This is not some city that is talked about by, you know, some members of the media. This is a city that is the home of so many technologies, open AI, we got scale AI, we got companies that mayors around the globe would die to have, and they're all happening right here. And it actually is important for our country that San Francisco continue to succeed and continue to grow. We have more companies and retailers leasing space than leaving space for the first time in 7 years. This is a city on a roll, and we shouldn't do anything to bring that back or hold that back, because that would be bad for our country.
Yeah, well, I have to say, first of all, that Los Angeles was the beginning of this experiment, and we described it as we were the petri dish. We knew that this was going to happen around the country, and it was very important that, just like San Francisco, we talked about the fact that on June 5th, Los Angeles was peaceful. Everything was going fine. On June 6th, we faced the invasion of our city, and I will tell you that it goes on today. People are still being snatched off the street. Home Depots are still being raided, and so are car washes, and it has had a profound impact on our economy. I don't think I need to offer Mayor Lori any advice. The fact of the matter is, this is a beautiful city. This is a safe city. There is not chaos happening here, and the distortion that was portrayed about the city of Los Angeles that was completely false is the same thing that I do not want to see happen here. Just look around. Nothing negative is happening here, and San Francisco does not deserve to have troops intervene and create chaos. The chaos that happened in Los Angeles, to the extent that it did, happened because of the federal government.
Well, I'll answer the first part of that question. We have certainly had our difficult times historically with crime. But I can tell you that crime right now, at least violent crime, is at a 50-year low. Back in 2020 and 2021, we had 74 murders in our city. Today, we have 16. Back in 2020, we had 732 shootings in our city. As of today, we have 129. So we've made significant progress, just like every mayor here in this city. And in Fresno, we too are on the rise. So there has not been any discussion of federal troops that are coming into Fresno, to my knowledge. But I would say, just like every mayor here, we got this. Local law enforcement has this. And I've said for many, many years that I could bring crime down significantly, much more than it is today. But the question is how you reduce crime in your city. And it's important that you reduce crime while you increase trust. And it's incumbent upon local law enforcement to increase that trust, not the military forces. I've also said for many years that in law enforcement, it is so important that we not be seen as an occupying force in neighborhoods, that we not militarize our police departments, because when you do that, you lose the support and the trust of your community. We have come a long way in local government. We cannot afford to go back.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, picture. We'll be right back.